back again. Church, there is such a great presence of God's Spirit in this house. And if you would allow me, I will do my best to talk to you about what God laid on my heart tonight. I want to talk about preparing for greatness. But before we even go any farther, could we just bow our heads, close our eyes? Dear Heavenly Father, God, this is your service tonight. It's all about you, Jesus. God, there's no words we can even begin to say to describe you. But as you sweep through this house, dear Jesus, meeting every need in every situation, God, please anoint my mind and my heart. God, allow me to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit, that we might all receive our need and go home full and overflowing this night. In Jesus' name, let it be done. If you have your Bibles, would you please turn to the book of Matthew? It's so exciting, and I want to thank you for your giving, and thank you for giving to She's for Christ that helps so many missionaries around the world. You know, I know we can't always go to the mission field, even though sometimes we may want to, but by your giving, you're being that light and that missionary all around the world. And you know, one thing I always like to tell people, wherever God has placed you is your mission field. Whatever store, whatever school God has opened up, that's your mission field. God has placed you there to impact your generation, and I believe you are making a great impact on this city. I heard just a few great things tonight from Pastor Grant. I've been hearing from everyone all week about the awesome things that are happening in this city and around the state, and I'm excited to know that I'm in a place that loves the Lord. Amen. In Matthew chapter 20, of reading verses 26 through 34. But it shall not be so among you, but whomsoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whomsoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will ye that I shall do unto you? And they said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. I think it is such a great thing when people go to talk to people about God. When you make yourself a servant just like you guys do all the time. I believe it's something that ushers in the presence of God. And we're going to be talking about it tonight, but it prepares us. It propels us. I remember in Antigua, you know, just like you guys go out, it's a sacrifice, it's a service. I remember in Antigua, you know, sometimes you don't really want to just go out. We're all human. You know, I'm not trying to paint a picture that we're better than anyone, so we're all human. But it's always those times when you least want to go that God seems to show up the strongest. And I remember on that same day that we talked to that principal, God continued to open doors through that and other situations. A few weeks later, we went to our college campus. We took this scripture to heart. We just took trash bags and we went out picking up trash on our college campus. Because see, we have a vision in Antigua that there's no corner, just like you have here, Brother Grant, that there will be no place in Madison that doesn't hear the truth and that doesn't feel the love of this church. We've took that same vision to Antigua and we wanted to reach everywhere. So we made it a priority. We took this scripture and we just went to serve. We went there to pick up pieces of trash. And because of being that servant, God has opened up the door. Because when we went there, I remember meeting one of the teachers. And it brought tears to my eyes. She said, Where's the cameras? She thought we were doing it for a publicity stunt. She thought we were just trying to get our name in the paper and say, Look what these people are doing. But it wasn't about getting our name in big shining lights. And I know that when we walk for God, that's not what it's about. It's about getting to heaven. It's about seeing that King of Kings, hearing, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I remember it brought tears to my eyes. I had to walk away weeping because just how she said it. She's like, "Where's the cameras? What newspaper are you here for?" And I said, "No, ma'am." And I looked at her and I said, we're just taking pride in our nation. We're respecting our country. We're picking up the trash." And because of that, God opened the door that now every Tuesday and every Wednesday we hold Bible studies right on our college campus. Because we made ourselves a servant. We prepared ourselves for greatness. In Matthew chapter 23, you know, this is a trend that it maybe not always be the easiest thing to preach about, but it's something we hear so often in the Word of God. In Matthew 23, 11 and 12, it said, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whomsoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." You know, so often, I know we lift up Brother Grant, he's a great man of God, but he's the biggest servant in the house. He is. The Bible says if you honor well, if you're a good man of God, if you're a good shepherd, you're worthy of double honor. Can we give him a hand tonight, church? You know, one thing I want to say I learned from Pastor Grant, doesn't matter who you are in the church, he always has times for you. Because he's there to serve. And tonight I just want to talk about that and share testimonies at the same time about Antigua. As we go through the world, we are preparing ourselves to serve. In Luke chapter 22 and verses 26 through 27, God shows us another picture of the same as Acts story in a sense. Luke 22 verses 26 and 27. "But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth?" Jesus was trying to make a picture. He was talking about being a servant. Could you get that red cordless mic ready for me, please? Sorry, I didn't give you a heads up. Tonight, we're going to go back in time. Now, I don't claim to be gone by this story, but we're going to go back in time. I have four wonderful young men that volunteer. They're going to be our apostles tonight. And see, Jesus had 12. We have four, amen, tonight. These are wonderful young men that volunteered, and they allowed me to pick on them a little bit tonight, and I'm thankful for that. But see, Jesus had apostles, and wherever he went, they went. That means you follow. And whatever he did, they always watched, and they observed. If he would pray for someone, they would be there, and they would observe what he did. They were watching him serve. That way, when it was time, he would send them out in groups of two. And they would go throughout. So two go down that island. Two go down that island. And they would go through, and they would look for people, and he sent them out. And the Bible talks about even after he sent out a 12, it says he sent out another 70. And they would find people all over, and they would pray for them. And they would witness to him. And they said they came back with great joy, seeing all the wonderful things that God did. Not that they did, but that God did. And see, I stand here tonight, and we're having fun tonight, amen. I always believe in we should have some fun in church when we come to serve God. God created a sense of humor. That's why he created me, amen. And so God had this core group. If you just stand out here. And I'm going to take us back. In the book of John, there's a story that talks to us about Jesus and his disciples. And they all gathered together. It was a great time. It was a time of celebration in the land. But yet nobody knew how great a time it really was. And I believe we live in a day and age where we're celebrating the wonderful things that we have done. We're celebrating the 180, but I don't even believe we can comprehend what God is pouring out around this world, what he has in store. So in John.
"Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid down aside his garments and took a towel and girdeth himself.
At this point, we see Jesus get up. It's going to be a little challenging. He took off his garment. He got ready for work. When we go out in the mission field, we're getting ready for work. When you go out to your workplace, you're getting ready for work. When you go to school. And it says he took a towel. Have my towel here tonight. Continue on.
And after that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded.
So see, he had his towel girded about him. And he went around. We didn't want to get the altar all wet for all those that are going to come to the altar afterward. So we skipped out the water part. But I got the towel. Because you got to understand, here's God. And I'm not claiming to be God. Don't get me wrong. I'm just trying to make a word picture here. Here's Almighty God. It wasn't enough that he robed himself in flesh. He was teaching every person, hey, there's people to reach. Let me serve you. Let me prepare you for greatness. There wasn't a one that he missed. Continue.
Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord,
this is our Peter tonight.
Dost thou wash my feet?
Oh, yes, I wash your feet.
Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know better hereafter.
See, what he was trying to make a picture of is they didn't even understand what Jesus was doing at this point. But they, and there's other places where Peter says, no, don't wash my feet, wash all of me. And, you know, Peter, we heard about him at camp, and, you know, he always had to say something. He was a good guy, amen. But Jesus didn't stop. I mean, so often we pick on certain disciples for their attributes, but even Thomas or whoever it was, God came and he washed their feet. And he said, no one's too great. No one's too small. He humbled himself. What we got to understand is that the real picture, I know we're doing a good job tonight, amen, but the real picture of this is their feet were completely filthy. Now, I know these guys got clean shoes. Maybe they heard that I was coming. So they went and shined them up before they got here. But see, the thing is, their feet were filthy. They were full of dust and dirt and manure, and they probably weren't the softest or the nicest. But Almighty God said, no, I gotta be your servant. I gotta serve. Why, church? Why? Because, you can be seated, thank you, I'll get up now. He was preparing himself for the greatest moment in history. Because only a few hours later, he went from washing the disciples' feet to dying on a cross, saying, it is finished. I wonder if for just a second tonight, we're going to go on, but for just a second, could we search our heart and say, God, is there somewhere I can serve? So every head bowed, every eye closed.
As a humble man, God, allow me to be a servant.
Allow me to find the need and meet the need through your power. God, not for my glory, but for yours, Jesus. And every person here, Almighty God, as they serve your great name, let us see that you have called us to serve this world. Oh, in Jesus' name, let it be done. Church, I'm so excited how you make it a point about others here. And I'm not saying we're not doing enough. I'm not. But I want us to realize how much of an impact we're making. Because see, sometimes we go through life and we say, well, I only talked to one person this week. I only talked to 10 people. Or I'm not good enough. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too slow. Our mind thinks of some very interesting things sometimes. But what I love about this great God that we serve, it says he's no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you came from. If you'll make yourself available to serve, he'll use you. And that's what it's about. When you go out every single week or whenever you go out, whether it be a weekday or a weekend, midweek or however it falls, when you're going out, it's just like Jesus went to his disciples and he washed their feet. See what it is? This world is full of the junk that throws at them every single day. They're full of hurt. They're full of pain. They're full of shame. They have no value. They have no self-worth. And you, as that almighty hand, that arm of God, as he uses you as that vessel, you're reaching into their life and you're just scraping away some of that pain, scraping away some of that muck and that dirt, you know, healing that scar, that wound. See, the one thing I love about the church is when we come here, we look beautiful. But when you sit down and start to hear what people's stories are, it's amazing where God brought us from. And it's amazing where God is taking us to. So tonight, I want us not to necessarily focus on what God has in store, but just realize how much he's used us for. Because when we get an understanding of how much he uses us for, it's amazing where he'll propel you to. Because you just kind of, you take that limiter, you take that governor, you know, you just let go of the reins and God's in charge. God, wherever you leave me. And I want to interject this story. I remember our youth pastor, he's a good young man. And I remember on outreach one day he was just praying. He's like, God, use me. Or whatever it is, whatever situation, use me. And as he was walking down the street, you know, Hebrews chapter 13 and 2 says, be careful to entertain strangers unaware. Could you put that up on the screen for me? My memory is, we've had a wonderful busy week and my memory is not what it should be. Amen. Thank you. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. And as he walked that Saturday in outreach, just talking to people, just sharing God's word, just scraping off that filth, just trying to pull them a little bit closer, bring them up, show them that they're valuable. You know, we got to understand as a church is I see it creeping in that we're saying, well, no, I'm not valuable. God can use that brother. God can use that sister. But he couldn't use me. Church, that's the biggest lie from the devil there ever was. He loves you. That's why he died for you. We're going to do a love check tonight. I want you to take your finger like this, point it at yourself, and say, Jesus died for me. Now, I want you to really think about that. Here's how you're going to do it. Point it at your neighbor. And say, you got in on my miracle. Now you can thank your neighbors for getting in on their miracle. Church, when we realize the fullness of God would have died for just one of us, it really makes us appreciate each other. It really does. Because I wouldn't be here without you and you and you and you. And you wouldn't be here without me. And none of us would be here without our shepherd. And God has put us all together. Many members fitly joined together. And that's why it's so amazing as you get to go out in the streets. So I'm going to get back to my story because sometimes I'm absent-minded, amen? That's why God gave me a wife so he can pull me back all the times I run away. It's like, well, this is a good story, God. No, go back. So I'm going back. So while he was on outreach on Saturday. Now, you can believe what you will. I can't say we can physically prove this, but we believe he saw an angel in human form because that's what the scripture says. And as he was walking, this young lady was walking by, and he said, excuse me, and he began to talk to her. And by the end, he said, would you like to go through a Bible study with her pastor's wife? She said, okay. Gave him a name and number. So he went back, talked to our pastor's wife, said, I met this young girl when I was talking to people on outreach. She wants to go through a Bible study. When would a time be available? She told him. He said, okay. So he calls her back up, and he didn't know at this time, but her mother answered. And he said, is a Jessica there? I said, just a minute. You know, Jessica. I don't know how you do that. Pitter patter, pitter patter. You know, Jessica runs to the phone. She picks it up. Yes, hello, this is Jessica. And he was kind of perplexed because he didn't hear, hello, this is Jessica, on the street. He heard a different voice. So he's okay. He's like, remember I met you last week and, you know, we talked about it and you said you would come to a church to go through a Bible study with our pastor's wife. Well, she's free this afternoon. Would you be interested in doing this afternoon? She said, sure. And he said, okay, well, where do you want us to pick you up at? And she told him. So he said, okay, thank you. Have a nice day. And they showed up to pick her up and brought her back to the church. But the funny thing is, when he showed up to pick her up and she got in the back of the bus, the girl that walked out wasn't the girl he met on the street. And he said, Jessica? She said, yes. He said, okay. And, you know, I'm not as good as Brother Cisco with the sound effects. But, you know, he just drove the bus away and they came to the church and taught a Bible study. Well, what we later found out about Jessica was she was praying every day on her knees, saying, God, lead me to a church that teaches truth. Lead me to a church that's experienced your word. You know, that's what I think we got to understand. The reason we go out is not to lift ourselves up. The reason God sends us out, the reason God takes you out every single week, every single day, the reason why he wakes you up is there's people in your city that are saying, God, send me a witness. God, send me someone that believes in me. Send me someone that thinks I'm valuable. Send me someone that knows that you're real. And he says, all right. And he wakes up his servant. He said, there's the field. Go back into it. Go reap me a harvest. And we go out and we all have stories. That's why I thank you for the great honor. But I know we all have stories that we can share of times like this where we've met people. And the thing you got to understand about Jessica, she's a good young girl. And she was just about to become a member of another church that didn't have the fullness of the truth. And I'm not putting them down, but what she said is, she told us this later, if I would have became a member, I never would have came to your church. See, God knows the perfect time. God knows when people are hungry. God knows when the time is right. Because we just found this out about 2.5 weeks ago. Now, her mother had been coming to church, and I'm going to share some stories about that. And this is all about being a servant. This is all about preparing yourself for the greatness, preparing yourself for the things to come. Church, now I understand we don't have much time left, but I believe every day that we live is one day that God is going to do more and more miracles. Every day more people are saved. Every day more miracles are done. As we draw closer, greater and greater things are done. So I understand, I know we're gearing up to see Jesus, but we also should be gearing up to have the greatest harvest the church has ever seen, to see miracles that we've never seen before. To reach more people than we've ever reached before. And not just one person, but the church as a whole. To teach more Bible studies than we ever taught. To have more classrooms. We got two going these coming weeks. To have 10, 20 classrooms because there's so many hungry people. But what happened to Jessica's mom is she was coming for a number of months after this all happened. She started coming. Now she just told us. Jessica's mom, every morning she would pray. And she would say, God, and whatever she, I don't know what she would say. So she would just pray to God. I'll put it like that. But every time she would pray, God would speak to her pastor and all she would hear was Praise Tabernacle. Now for those of you that don't know, that's the name of the church, Praise Tabernacle, of our church there in Antigua. And she would pray, and every single morning she was starting to get annoyed because it was like, Praise Tabernacle, Praise Tabernacle. God, what is this Praise Tabernacle? I don't know this Praise Tabernacle. She said, I knew there used to be a Praise Tabernacle, but they're not there anymore. Because a few years ago, you guys gave us an awesome offering. We were able to buy some land and build a building. So we moved. She said, I don't know where they're at. And she talked to some people on the street, and they didn't know where we're at. And she was like, well, how do I find this Praise Tabernacle? God wouldn't tell her. But God just said, Praise Tabernacle. Because that's where we come in as servants. That's where we come in. We have to listen to the leading of the Holy Ghost. And see, he put that, I believe, angel there that day. Because here's what happened. When our youth pastor called up, he just didn't say, hello, is Jessica there? He said, hello, good afternoon, my name's Geraldo Brown. I'm the youth pastor at Praise Tabernacle, United Pentecostal Church. And I was wondering if there was a Jessica there. And the second he said it, now she told us this later, but she wanted to scream. Here she's trying to get a hold of Praise Tabernacle, and Praise Tabernacle calls her. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God that gets on his knees and washes our feet. That's the kind of God that wakes us up every morning and we know his mercy and his promises are afresh and new every single day of our life. And so that's that story. This is a lot of little pieces to a big story. It takes me hours to tell the whole story, so I'm just putting little pieces so we'll connect the dots here. So that's Jessica's mom's side. That's Jessica's story. But see, Jessica had already had the Holy Ghost. She was never baptized. So she got baptized in Jesus' name. We all rejoiced. But her mom had never experienced either. And she called us up, our youth pastor, on that Saturday afternoon, or sometime one week, and he called me up on a Saturday morning and said, I want to get baptized in Jesus' name. I said, okay, that's awesome. Brought her to the church. And she came to the church. She sat on the second row, and our ladies gathered around and prayed. Now, in Antigua, we have a policy. Kind of like, you know, like you do here. Hurting people, when they come in, you're going to minister to them. We have the same policy in Antigua. So when hurting people come in, we say, you're not going to leave empty. So she came and she came to get baptized. We said, well, before you even leave, you're going to get the Holy Ghost. So we prayed, and within 30 seconds, she took off running down our center aisle. Now, in Antigua, we kind of have a side door that you come into the church because the back doors lead to the Sunday school. And right when she hit that, if you will, that cross mark where the two aisles meet, she just fell on her knees and began to speak in tongues. Now, remember, she came there to get baptized. But she got such a dose of God because over and over she heard praise tabernacle. She was so excited to be there that for 58 minutes she spoke in tongues. But then we finally got her up, and she got in a robe, and we got her in the baptismal tank. Now, you guys got heated water here. It's really nice to get baptized. In Antigua, we don't have that. When you get in the water, especially because your blood thins out, you get cold. Within 2 minutes, you have stammering lips. We believe it promotes the Holy Ghost. Amen. They get so cold, they can't think about it, and they just start speaking in tongues. Call it what you will. It's great. We had 30 people get the Holy Ghost last year because of it. Amen. We've already had 30 people this year get the Holy Ghost because of it. So it works. Hallelujah. Most people, what we'll do is we'll get them in there, we'll read one or two scriptures, we'll pray, we'll baptize them, get them out of the water as quick as we can so that they don't freeze to death. You know, because we're there to reach people, not kill people. Even though they're in a spiritual death, we don't want them to physically die. Amen. So we get her in the tank, and Pastor was up here preaching for y'all, and I'm down there in charge of the church, and we get her in the tank, and the 20-minute mark rolls around. Pastor, I'll be honest, I started getting a little fleshy. I got nervous. I said, oh no, Lord, help me. Pastor's gone. How am I going to make that phone call? Yeah, someone died while baptizing. Never leave me in charge of the church again. So I looked at her in all my boldness and fleshliness, and I said, ma'am, if you just shut your mouth, if you just hold your mouth shut for a few seconds, I'll get you under the water in Jesus' name. And I said, then you can get out and speak in tongues all day, because I just wanted to get her out of the water because it was cold. And at 22 minutes, she held her mouth, and I said, here's my chance, Pastor. And I went in Jesus' name, and I put her under the water. But when she came up out of that water, I kid you not, the second she broke that water, every person there saw the flash of light just went through that whole baptismal area. And all you could see for a few seconds was this white, pure, bright, white, whiter than white. I mean, it was just bright. But when she came up out of the water, the Holy Ghost just fell, not just on her. You know, sometimes it falls on people in a tank and they start shouting, but it hit all of us. And we were just dancing. To give you a picture, I mean, she was twirling so fast in that tank, she about rebaptized every single one of us. I mean, she's just going to town. I'm like, hallelujah. I'm jumping next to her, you know, because we're with baptismal. I'm just thanking Jesus. And all the young ladies and young men that were there, they're jumping and shouting. We're making a whole lot of racket. But when she came up, the second the white went away, I looked to my left. And remember, I said, remember the fence? We put up the fence. Well, about 8 inches above that fence, we put one strand of barbed wire. That's to make sure nobody gets away. And I didn't know it at the time. I seen somebody, and instead of just looking over the fence like this, real easy, normal-like, they're in between the barbed wire, looking like this. And I felt that flesh coming back. I said, Jesus, we saved one, but now another one's going to die in the fence. Don't want to make that phone call. So I grabbed our youth pastor because I'm next to her in the baptismal tank, and she's just going around, and I'm you know, just trying to make sure nobody gets hurt and praise God and everything. So I grabbed our youth pastor. I'm like, go talk. So he grabbed and he, you know, there you go. He ran over there and he talked to her, and I kid you not, she came up to him screaming. She said, "What's going on? What's happening?" She said, "I cannot explain it, but there's something inside me that's drawing me towards that place. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it, Pastor." But she said, "I need to know what's happening. Something keeps pulling me closer and closer." Church, this is how the world feels every time you walk into a building. Every time you walk on the street, the world just says, "I don't know what's going on, but something's pulling me closer. Something bringing me to that person. I can't explain why, but I have an urge to talk to them. I have a need to ask them why." That ever happened? I know that's happened to a lot of people here. Because as you walk in, the Bible says we're a candle that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. When you walk down the road, that light emanates everywhere you go. And people to your right and to your left are being pulled and being drawn because they need that light. And all he got out was she just got baptized in Jesus' name. And she just received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And as soon as he said that word, nobody even prayed for her. She just starts speaking in tongues. Church, that's what it's all about. Serving your community. Y'all are getting so excited. I know you're doing it. You've experienced it. That's what it's all about. But I'm just here tonight not to tell you who I am or to tell you who you are, but to tell you what you experience now is only a tip of what God is growing us into. As we learn to serve more and more people, as we learn to reach out more and more, God continues to open more doors. God continues to open more windows and say, "Hey, I can trust you over here." Next thing you know, some angels appear and giving you names and numbers. Amen? It's happened to people all over the world. So what I want to do is right now the altar's open. And I want any person that wants to go on do this. And you know, there's so many of you here tonight that have already done this. Can we just come to the altar and say, "God, continue to lead people to me. Continue to keep me humble. Continue to use me." Because church, that's what it's all about. It's about getting that towel. And you just kind of wave it in the streets. Say, "You need a need? Let me meet your need." Bible says, "What you've done unto the least of these, you've done unto me." Church, the altar's open. Can we just come forward and say, "God, give me a bigger towel. God, I'm preparing for greatness. God, I'm reaching my community." Church, you're doing such a great job. I believe at the end of this year, you won't only reach 365, but you can reach 4, 5, 600. Church, he's given you the gift. He's given you the towel. Keep using it. Keep reaching the lost. You know, as we tell our stories up here, we're telling your stories down there. Can we just ask him to check our hearts tonight? Say, "God, lay those names on my heart. Lay those people on my heart. God, I want to serve this community. I want to serve this church." Come on, church, that's what it's all about. You're doing wonderful. Keep talking to him tonight. He's in the house. He's pouring out his spirit.